So Paul Boutte and I are always fighting over a line in Amazing Grace. Paul would play it, and then I would sing. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. And it's about then that he stops. And then he says, the word is wretch, Reverend, wretch. And then I say, but we're not wretches. I'm not a wretch, Paul. And then the Christmas story comes today to settle the matter and to tell us tonight that we are not wretches. Amen. But songs like Amazing Grace have taught us faulty theology for years, as beautiful as it is, convincing us that somehow grace and wretchedness go together, and that you can't have one without the other. Well, we were taught wrong. Have you ever been taught something wrong? I remember a time, the first time I had been taught something wrong that was hard to get rid of. Mark Twain said, it ain't what you know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so. And so if we all think back, right, we can probably think of some belief that we held that we thought was true until a deeper meaning came along. And in my family, and many families from the South, we held the belief for generations that if you got a burn, that the thing that you were supposed to do for first aid was to go and get some butter and put on it. And so while Amazing Grace is a beautiful song, just as we learned that it is ice that you're supposed to put on burns and not butter, that this song, as beautiful as it is bad theology and is totally opposite from the deeper meaning of Christmas tonight. So how do we know that God didn't come and send Jesus to rescue a wretched people? Because on this night, on this day, Jesus chose to become one of us in the form of a baby. A gentle, kind, loving, cooing baby. And in the gospel, it's interesting that Caesar, the emperor, was under some kind of delusion that he was in charge of the world and entitled to its resources. So he called for everybody to go and register so that he could assess them for tax liability to build his wealth and his kingdom. But God had another plan. God always has another plan in mind for the world. God made a different assessment in sending us this Christ child in the form of humanity. And so the message of Christmas is that it is good to be human, that humanity is good, that it's divine, and that it's holy. Because whenever a baby is born, that is God saying, I am not tired of you yet. And so as Jesus is born to Mary and Joseph in this manger in straw poverty, wrapped in swaddling clothing, the first people that this miracle is revealed to are the shepherds herding in a field, a group that would have had trouble as we do with this message of divine worth because of their lived experience. Shepherds stood at the bottom rung of the Palestinian social ladder. They often had no social acceptability. They were often victims of cruel stereotypes, snubbed by religion, and a despised class. They were even often banned from pasturing their sheep and their goats in certain neighborhoods and places in Israel. It was this group, though, that the angels come to announce the birth of Christ. They appear to the shepherds because this day isn't about human power or failure as wretches, but it's about divine love. It's about God raising up humanity by choosing to dwell among us. In fact, the rapper Drake wrote a song about it. He said, started from the bottom, but now I'm here. Anybody ever had a bottom experience? where you felt alone, abandoned, unworthy, undeserving of anything from God? If that's you, this message is for you and for all of humanity. Jesus comes, his birth comes to remind us that we are not alone. We are not abandoned. We are not unworthy, and we're not undeserving. Because the scripture says next that the angel of the Lord appeared to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were not used to this glory that God sent them. It scared them. The scripture says that they were struck with fear, as we often are struck with fear. And we're struck with fear because we're taught to be afraid of God, to be afraid that we're not good enough for God, that we're wretches undone, that we are unworthy. And yet, when God shared God's glory with the shepherds, God contradicts that message. Remember when Jesus prayed in John's gospel? He said, God, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. So God's glory came to make the shepherds and us one with Jesus, to share in his divinity, his holiness, his worthiness. And every week at this table, we remind ourselves of that when we say, Lord, you make me worthy to receive you, and by your word, I am healed. The angels tell the shepherds, and they tell us tonight, do not be afraid of this truth. You're good. This is the good news of great joy that will be, does the scripture say that this great news and this joy will be for some people? No. It says this is the good news of great joy that will be for all the people. All the people. Because God so loved the world that God gave God's only begotten Son. God didn't send Jesus to change God's mind about us. Jesus came to change our minds about God. Henry Nouwen once said that we spend our whole lives in self-rejection because of the messages that we receive. If we believe that Jesus came to rescue a fallen and an unworthy and a wretched humanity, it will dictate how we view ourselves and the other people in the world around us. You see, when we sin, we really have only four questions. Who am I when I sin? Who am I after I sin? Who is God when I sin? And who is God after I sin? And the first two have the same answer. Well, and the last two have the same answer too. Who are we when we sin and after we sin? Beloved children of God. Who is God when we sin? And after we sin, God is love. Isaiah says it this way, said, this child comes to show us who God is when we sin and after we sin. Love saves us from our fear. Jesus is not just born tonight. Isaiah says he's given to us as wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting parent, and Prince of Peace. God does not change because of sin. Sin changes because of God. Amen? Amen? This is the gift that this Christmas miracle brings us tonight. Because sin, yes, it causes a rip in the world that requires healing. But it doesn't change who we are. Barbara Brown Taylor, in her book, Speaking of Sin, says this. She says, by the grace of God, we are mended and called to be menders by his love. Day by day, our job is to hunt the places where the world is ripped and to bend over the damage to do what we can. Every good deed, every kind word, every act of justice and compassion tugs the torn edges closer together. And I saw those torn edges coming together this week as many of you helped over 100 families through the Adopt a Families program whose lives were mended by the love and the generosity that you gave them. These struggling families. I saw it again as a man and his wife and four children came through the office door. They were from Afghanistan, looking for food and for resources and a job to take care of his family. And I watched the office staff accompany them, bending over the damage to do what they could. At each encounter, the Christmas message was as clear today as it was in Bethlehem. Look for the God of humanity, born in a manger, who comes to us in many disguises. Emmanuel, God is with us, who comes to accompany us, friends, on our journey, not to judge us or to save a fallen humanity, but to honor humanity. This is the message of Christmas. When my grandson was about 5 years old, he was sleeping over with me, and he was falling asleep, and as he began to fall asleep, he looked up at me and he said, "Nanny, if I sleep close enough to you, will I be able to get into your dreams?" And you see, friends, tonight, this baby Jesus has come as close as anyone can come to invite us into the dream of God for the world that we live in. In 2018, Pope Francis was addressing his bishops and his priests, and he said, "Go out among your flock and know the people that you serve. You must be shepherds who smell like your sheep." You see, we have a God who smells like his sheep because he's moved in with us. He's our good shepherd. The Hindus have a greeting that simply says, "Namaste," which means the divine in me bows to the divine in you. God is bowing to humanity. We have to be careful, though, that we don't miss it in ourselves or in other people. Now, you may have heard the story of a woman. She lived in a small town, and she prayed to God every day to meet God personally. And so that night, God appeared to her in a dream and promised to visit her the very next day. And so when she woke up in the morning, she was so happy, and she began preparing to welcome God. She cleaned her house, and she arranged the furniture, and then she started preparing delicious food for God, because, you know, God liked to eat. And when she was preparing sweets, someone knocked at the door. She rushed to open the door, and she saw a salesman trying to sell some magazines, quite irritated. She said, "Please do not disturb me today. I am waiting for an important visitor, so keep my doorway clear. Do not waste my time." Turning the salesman away, she slams the door, and then she went off and she sat in her drawing room, waiting for God. After some time, another knock comes to the door. And she rushes to the door again, expecting to see God. But she was disappointed one more time, because at the door was a neighboring girl who had come to play with her daughter. And she said to her angrily, "I am sorry, but please don't disturb us today. We are expecting some important guest. Come back tomorrow and play with my daughter." And closing the door without even waiting for the little girl to respond, she returned to her drawing room, waiting for God to show up. Hours passed, and then there was no sign of God. She became so disheartened, and she wondered, why would God not keep God's promise? So finally she fell asleep. She cried herself to sleep that night, and God again appeared to her in her dream. And God said, "My dear, I visited you twice today, and you turned me away." Surprised, she said, "It can't be. I waited for you all day, and there was no sign of you. When did you visit?" And God said, "First I came as a salesman, and then as the neighbor's child. But both times, you turned me away without even hearing what I had to say." She realized her mistake, and she said, "I didn't recognize you." She missed the holiness of humanity, as we often do. Paul in Corinthians asked a question. He says, "Do you know that you are the temple of God? And that you are holy?" We often don't believe it, and we struggle to believe it about each other. If we knew we were holy, we would change our world. We would welcome the stranger, We would not wage war against countries. We wouldn't attack each other. We wouldn't run each other down. We would feed all the hungry people. We'd provide shelter for the homeless. We'd make sure the children and the elderly were taken care of. And we would live in those namaste moments taught in the Hindu religion. You may have read this week, friends, in the news about a Maryland real estate company that surprised its employees this Christmas with a $10 million bonus. During a time where most companies give their share of profits to shareholders and CEOs, this company did something different. Everyone received a gift averaging $50,000. Edward St. John, who's the founder and the CEO, said this. He said, "To celebrate the achievement of our goal, we wanted to reward every employer in a big way that would make a significant impact on their lives." He said, "I couldn't think of a better way to show my gratitude for their hard work and dedication." Well, I have news for you tonight. God couldn't think of a better way to show God's love and appreciation for humanity than to come as one of us this Christmas. It is the highest compliment that we can be paid. It is better than $10 million gifts, much more, because God is pushing in the message of divine love from the bottom up to all of humanity this Christmas. It's a priceless gift, and in that gift, God is saying to you, "I love you, humanity. You are beloved. You are my creation. You are holy. You are wonderful, and I want to be with you. I want to share your skin. I want to share your bodies. I want to share your lives and the world with you." And so this Christmas, we're being asked to reimagine our world with this baby Jesus, to get into his dream for the world, to remove our fears, our doubts of God's love for us, to embrace the joy of his coming anew. There is a song that got it right. There's a line in the song, "O Holy Night," that simply says, "Long lay the world in sin and error pining until he appears and the soul felt its worth." So I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, Christ the Lord. Merry Christmas, Spiritus Christi.